Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, on the line with us, and no matter what we do in the next few minutes with Tom Haberstroh, we will not be able to do justice to the great piece he wrote after the fact on the Philadelphia Sixers of their season. He is the NBC insider for the NBA, and Tom is with us now. Hi, Tom.
Thanks for the high praise. Good morning, everybody.
Tom, that was a terrific piece. Since it came out, though, the Sixers did something we were not expecting. They brought back Brett Brown. Do you think that was the right decision for the organization?
I think it is. You look at what the starting lineup did after two overhauls midseason. It was the best starting lineup in the Eastern Conference with no training camp, with no preseason. He had to implement a system on the fly with five guys who really wanted the ball in very different situations. And then in the postseason, it was the best lineup in the NBA. Forget the Eastern Conference. It outscored opponents by 25 points every 100 possessions, which was the best rating of any lineup in the NBA. So the question is, you know, how much of the bench's inability to perform in that series is on Brett Brown? I don't think it is. I think if you want a coach to coach this team, you want them to be able to manage the egos and make sure that they're well fed on the offense and that they're happy. And that last bit, the happiness, you saw what happened at the press conferences yesterday. Each and every player just gushed about Brett Brown, which totally could have gone a different way considering the outcome of that series. So I think once you get the player buy-in and you have the success of that lineup, again, they traded four quarters for a dollar twice this season, getting Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler. And I think the bench was depleted because of those trades by Elton Brand. So I just don't see why you would want to switch coaches given the success of the starting lineup and the fact that all those guys, Joel Embiid, Jimmy Butler, spoke very highly of him.
Tom, let me give you some reasons why I would like to get rid of the coach. I'm going to start with the three possessions with 3 minutes to go in the most important game in years and years in this city. Three possessions where they couldn't even get a shot off. Tom, is that not a component of strategic coaching?
Could be.
If it's not, Tom, why do I have a coach at all? If I'm not getting shots off with my season on the line, it's not a reflection of the coaching?
I mean, the players have to hit those shots, too. They have to take those shots,
too.
I don't put that on all the coach, no.
Wow. What do you put on the coach?
You put in a game plan going into the season. You get the buy-in to play amazing defense throughout the series. You share the ball. These are all things that coaches have a huge influence on. And then at the end of the game, you have to rely on your players to make decisions. It's not all on the coach. It's
not all on the
players.
All right, so, Tom, let's break down what you just said. And I'm not trying to interrogate you. I have nothing but respect for you. But I'm frustrated by the decision that they made yesterday. Then if his thing is to do a game plan, shouldn't that plan include Embiid being a lot closer to the basket a lot more often?
Well, you're dealing with a guy in Ben Simmons who hasn't taken a perimeter shot in the whole entire postseason, not a single shot outside of 12 feet. So a lot of the questions around the roster makeup of this team require Joel Embiid, who has a reliable jumper, to create spacing for other players. Or otherwise, you're going to have defenses just load up in the paint. And a lot of times when Joel Embiid gets the ball on the block, he gets triple teamed, right? And it becomes a difficult question for coaches anywhere. It's not just Brett Brown. It's what do you do when you have one player who plays effectively like a center in Ben Simmons?
That's why I brought in Tobias Harris. That's why I got Mike Scott. I got J.J. Redick. I got shooters out there. It's not like the only guy I got as a shooter out there is, I don't know what you're saying. Why can't I get my 7-footer to get under the basket more where he can post up and get some nice, easy baskets. I don't understand why you think that's okay.
I mean, I think you have to have multiple looks. Look, Brett Brown is a really good coach in today's NBA. He's had some really difficult situations with the process and having to rebuild on the fly. I think there's a lot of, you know, questions surrounding Ben Simmons and his development. I don't know whether that's all on Brett Brown. I don't know whether it's all on Ben Simmons or the coaching staff in general. But
right,
I do know that Brett Brown has gotten a lot of these players to buy in, which is no small task. When you talk about Jimmy Butler, who has blown up multiple locker rooms to speak highly of Brett Brown, I think is a ringing endorsement. And then Joel Embiid, the biggest star that the Philadelphia 76ers have gotten since Allen Iverson, also believing in his coach. So if you want to boil it down to three possessions and a last-second shot that bounced four times around the rim, that I just saw an analysis said that where that ball landed is a 3% chance of going in. So
well,
you want to pin that on Brett Brown,
if there are three possessions where I didn't do a damn thing with it with the gamma line, maybe I didn't even have to worry about that if we did something with him. Let me get to Ben Simmons, because I really felt that was like some of the most compelling stuff that you wrote in this piece, Tom. Could you tell us a little bit about his lack of development and what you think that means long-term for him here?
You know, Ben Simmons is an incredible player. I mean, you watch what he did defensively in this series and against D'Angelo Russell last series. Forget the last possession there against Kawhi. But generally speaking, I talk to people around the league. He has defensive player of the year potential. You know, Ben Simmons, offensively, a great player in transition, really strong. But the fact of the matter is he doesn't have a jump shot yet. And it's not that he doesn't have a jump shot. It's that he hasn't tried to have a jump shot in the games. You know, Giannis Antetokounmpo didn't have a jump shot, but he had the confidence to use it, you know, to try to gain confidence. And there's no way that he's able to shoot the three now without trying it in the first few years of the season. And I think there's a lot of questions around the league. I'm not hearing this internally from the 76ers, but a lot of people around the league, there are whispers that they might try to blow it up this offseason and see if they can get a deal for Ben Simmons. But I don't think it's likely. But one name that was floated to me and expected to be explored is LeBron James in Los Angeles.
That would be great because of the fact that
the trajectories of the two teams, the Lakers, who aren't really built right now to win anytime soon, and then you have the 76ers who want to win right now. And so you have Ben Simmons who doesn't have a jump shot yet. Maybe in L.A. they have a longer leash and they're able to say, look, you can bide your time to develop that jump shot. But with the Lakers, I can't imagine that they're very happy about the situation right now. And they can't imagine that there's a really good chance that they win a championship with LeBron and they might move him.
All right, I got to pursue a couple of great things you said there. I'm going to start with this stuff. If Ben has no jump shot, is it a great idea to retain, the way he said he would yesterday, for a second year, his brother Liam as his shooting coach? You think having your brother as your coach is a great idea, Tom?
I mean, it's hard to say. It's weird because when you look at Ben Simmons before games, he's shooting three-pointers. You know, in his warm-ups, he's shooting three-pointers, he's shooting jump shots. I don't think it's really about the physical development. It might be something about the mental crutch or something that he has to get over to try to, you know, get over that hump and say, I can take this shot, because it's clear that he has the ability to shoot that in practice or in warm-ups before the game. So, you know, it might be a comfort factor for him having his brother be so close to him. And in the NBA, when all these expectations are on you, that might be something that he likes to have. But I would seriously look into having a change in that development because, look, in today's NBA, you need to have all five players on the floor able to shoot. And that's not what's happening here in Philadelphia. And I think Ben Simmons could be an MVP one day if he developed a knockdown three-pointer.
No doubt about it. Tom, last thing. We've been fighting for 2 days now. You mentioned, in spite of the last play defensively, Ben was strong all year. Did you feel he didn't, you know, do the right thing on the final play against Kawhi?
I mean, if he misses that shot, we're probably not talking about this, right? But
right.
I do think that going into that possession, he seemed to switch off of Kawhi Leonard and let Joel Embiid take that.
Right.
And maybe that was part of the game plan. I don't know, but it just seemed like that was something he could have grinded a little bit harder on that last possession. Again, we're playing Monday morning quarterback. If that shot bricks and it doesn't go in like it should have, we're not talking about his defense on that last play.
But you're saying he should have pursued
him. Great...
See, we've been arguing about whether he should have followed him into the corner with Embiid. And I'm getting the sense here you think he should have.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
And given that he's 22 years old, this is what happens when you're a young kid in the league. It's, you know, maybe he doesn't make that decision at 28.
Tom, can't thank you enough for coming out with us. Thank you so much for your expertise this morning.
All right. Have a great one.
All right. He didn't like that I interrogated like that, but his answers, Al, I'm sorry, they did not hold up to logic to me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.